I really hope that more of us wake up to the sense of community that we do need.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. And thank you for joining us on another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. Thank you, first of all, to all of my subscribers and all of my listeners. If you're not a subscriber and you're just like a lurker, please, please hit that subscribe button. It's easy. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, pretty much any platform that you listen to podcasts, you can find us. Just search for Far Betterment. And also, thank you to those of you who have rated us 5 stars. If you haven't rated us 5 stars yet, please do so. Again, you can find us on all of those platforms that I just mentioned, and just search for Far Betterment and give us a 5-star rating, please. It helps people know that you enjoy what you're listening to and that you enjoy what we're doing here at Far Betterment. In this episode, I'm joined by Natalie Strosen from Feel the Beat. Feel the Beat is an incredible organization that brings the joy of music, dance, and expression to children who live with disabilities like deafness, difficulty hearing, and special needs in general. Also, congratulations to them and For Her Denver on their recent event, Good Vibrations, which was actually on October 11th. They raised a lot of awareness and a lot of money through charitable donations for their organization and to help keep going and bringing the joy of music to children throughout their community. So congratulations and a big thank you to Natalie Strosen for being a guest on Far Betterment and sharing her journey and experiences with us here. I think you guys are going to enjoy this one. I had a great time connecting with her and it was very easy to have a conversation with her. So thank you for that. It's always great when it's easy. So without further ado, here's Natalie Strosen for Far Betterment. Hi, is this Natalie?
Hi, yes it is. How are you doing?
Good. This is Andrew from Far Betterment. I think you know that though.
Hi, Andrew. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, happy Tuesday. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much. How are you doing?
Good. I hope your Tuesday has gone well so far.
It really has. It's been a busy one, but I'm home and it's been a good day.
Busy is good. I like being busy.
I tend to be busy. At the end of the week, I have my first nonprofit event called we're calling it a community event. I've never thrown one before, but I just wanted to. And so it's this Friday. And so I woke up at 3 a.m. last night, just working on donations and things like that. So,
oh my gosh, you must be. I am exhausted.
I'm running on fun energy, so it hasn't hit me yet, the exhaustion. I think maybe come Saturday.
Oh no.
I know, right? Fumes. It's scary.
Are you a weekend person, or do you like the beginning of the week better?
Oh, that's a good question. I like Tuesdays, Thursdays, and the weekends.
Oh, I love that answer. I've never gotten that.
Yeah. Tuesdays are fun. Thursdays are fun. Wednesdays are good, but I have a class that I go to, so.
Ah, okay. That'll either liven things up or make it really dull.
Yeah, exactly. It really does. It's kind of daunting. Do you have a favorite day of the week?
You know what? I'm kind of weird. I like Mondays.
Oh my gosh, yes, you are an oddball.
I think for me, Monday is the day when I'm definitely like an introvert I'm a little bit of both. But I think that it's a good time for me to come out of hiding and like not have to be around a bunch of crowds and not like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You need that Monday to come around so you can be social again.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
Just my right amount of crowd on Mondays. That's always good for me.
That's awesome.
So you are friends with Mandy, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, I am.
So I'll be actually doing a podcast here with like Brooklyn and well, you obviously, and had Mandy on a couple weeks ago.
And great.
You guys all co-founded For Her, is that right?
So I did not. She co-founded For Her with that group of women.
Okay.
They are supporting me in this community event coming up on Friday.
Oh, cool.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that's how we got connected. We worked together, but I actually just shared with her this idea I had, and she was like, I have a whole bunch of kick-ass women that would support you in this, and we've done something similar, so we kind of joined forces, and now we've become very good friends.
Oh, that's awesome. So did you guys, so you guys haven't known each other that long?
No, just a few. I mean, I've known her because we've worked together, but not like in the same department, just for the same company. But no, now it's on a personal level for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. That's what we're all about here, is connecting. And
yeah,
absolutely. So how did you get involved in, and actually I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about your community event, but how did you get involved in, you know, charity work and stuff? What gave you that idea or desire?
So I'm originally from San Diego and lived there for most of my life and moved here to Denver about a year and a half ago. And to be quite honest, you're from Denver, right?
Yeah.
I've heard that in Miami. Okay. So I live close to Sloan's Lake. I would run there when I first moved here, didn't have any friends. And I would run by this dance studio called Feel the Beat. And so one day I just walked in there. I grew up dancing and I asked, oh, can I take classes here? And they said, oh yeah, of course. But we are actually a nonprofit. We have a vibrating dance floor for deaf, hearing impaired, and special needs people, children and adults. I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. How can I help? And so they needed people in the office and the back of the house kind of work. And I was happy to do so. So I've been in charity work and nonprofit work, even back in San Diego, more, you know, it's a military town. So a lot of military veteran causes. But then when I moved here, this opportunity presented itself. The founder, her name is Jerry. She is incredible. I mean, she could do anything and I would follow her. So I just kind of formed a friendship with her almost immediately and was like, whatever you want me to do, I believe in you and I believe in this cause. So that's how I got involved here in Denver with that sort of that community. And I love Denver. They've just been super, super friendly and helpful and wanting to get involved.
That's so good to hear, because I hear a lot of horror stories about, you know, natives, and I'm one of those annoying natives, you know, not wanting quote unquote outsiders or transplants and stuff. And I hate to see that, right? Because I'm one of those people that, like, I'm proud of Colorado. Like, I want people to see Colorado. I want people to experience Colorado, even though I don't live there anymore. Mm-hmm. So you found that it's been pretty accepting and you've integrated pretty well?
Yeah. You know, I think I came from San Diego, so I came east, and I think a lot of people are from the Midwest that mm-hmm. come here. So growing up and in my early 20s, a lot of my friends were transplants, and I lived all over the beach cities, and to live there, I had 5 jobs. I worked in the restaurant.
Oh my gosh.
I did whatever, you know, like bartending and wedding catering, coordinating and things like that, just to live life there. And you meet a lot of my friends are from the East Coast or Midwest. So moving here, it was very similar in that regard. Like, I didn't feel people were negative towards me. I hear it a lot, like when I'm doing taking Ubers or Lyfts. They're like, oh, you guys keep moving here. That's like my extent. It's like, sorry. But the people are my people. Like, they are absolutely the most wonderful people. And I could have been, I definitely count my blessings because I have a girlfriend in San Diego that has friends out here that she connected me with almost immediately. And they are the fun, you know, have a good, healthy dose of work-life balance and mountains and having fun. And it's, they have been, they're like a second family to me. And it's only been, you know, a little over a year and a half.
Oh, it's so nice to hear. I'm always happy when people are able to like build a circle. I guess I'm, in a way, I'm like, oh, how do you do that? How do you build a circle like that so quickly and stuff? But I'm always like so hopeful because it is hard. It's really hard, especially as an adult, to do that and get out there. And,
it is.
Yeah, it absolutely
to, you
is.
Have to like, you have to like Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and the weekend.
There you go.
But not just Mondays.
Yes.
You have to be more of an extrovert, is what I'm trying to say. That's how you do it.
I need to work on that. I'm trying here with this podcast. You know, I'm hiding behind this like screen at my house. Not having to see anyone face to face.
You're catfishing us.
Oh no, I hope not.
Yeah, I know, right? Who is this person?
I love that you brought that up about community because I hear a lot of people talk about how disconnected we are and how everything's so like impersonal now and social media is like addictive and ruining everything. And I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I think, sure, it can be toxic, but so can anything else. And I guess, what's your viewpoint on social media and toxicity and community?
Well, I think if you have a good sense of family and community, as in the real, your what is that to you? So you actually interact with people on a daily basis. Then I don't think it could be such an issue. I live with my sister, who's my best friend. I have, you know, a kickball league that I'm on. I'm constantly doing social things with people that I'm very vulnerable and close with. But some people are introverted and they just love Mondays. So when it comes to social media, I actually do feel like I see the disconnect. I take the bus to work. Like I mentioned, I'm from San Diego. I've never had to take public transportation. And now I'm really grateful that my company pays for that. And I'm grateful that for, you know, the buses here and the transportation we have. It's been a great social experiment for me. I don't have my earphones. I love listening to podcasts and I'm a sucker for the murder mystery and, you know, Serial got me all those years ago.
Oh, same so, here. Same.
But I made it. Yeah. So good. Oh, yep. I love Sarah and Ravi. Yes.
Yes.
They're
yes.
amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
So yes, we'll have to come back to that. It's amazing.
Yes.
So, riding on the bus, I don't have my earphones in, so it's very uncomfortable. I don't get uncomfortable around people normally, but it is so uncomfortable because everyone else has earphones in or they're on their phones. I'm not kidding. It's excruciating to try and have a conversation. So I just said, okay, no matter what, whoever sits next to me, I'm going to say good morning. And it's not gotten easier. So I would like to think, you know, that social media connects us in a way for those who are still connected to reality. But seeing some of my friends with kids now who are middle school and early, yeah, mostly middle school and late elementary, I've never seen like the experience of bullying like I ever have now. And hearing the stories of my friends whose children are going through this, very weird to me. And I don't know if that's how, so I grew up in a non-religious home, nothing against it, but non-religious. And I say that because we didn't have cable, which may not seem like a big thing. We had like a couple Disney movies, but we played outside and I didn't see really cartoons. I feel like I kind of missed out because, yeah, a SpongeBob and all that.
Hey, there's still time.
I don't know the inside joke at all.
There's plenty of time.
Thank you. Okay. And Simpsons, didn't get that one either. That was a bad one.
Oh, no.
Not allowed to watch that.
Got to catch up, though.
Yeah, I do. I do. So thank you for that hope. So knowing that, or just having that, for me, I feel disconnected even just from mm-hmm. my own generation. And so I think it's both, to be honest. I really hope that more of us wake up to the sense of community that we do need and interconnectedness.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not single right now, but when I was and I was doing the dating apps, that will give you a good healthy dose of
what
sure. social media is. And it's very interesting. So I think it's both. I think for you, that's wonderful that you feel like it connects you more, and what you're doing with your work is seriously amazing. And like posting the Good Vibrations event on Facebook and having somebody reach out to me in Australia and donate it made me feel like, wow, this is reaching the ends of the earth. It's mm-hmm. so cool. Yeah.
I think that's the part that I really like about it. The fact that, you know, I can contact somebody across the world if I want to mm-hmm. and have them on. Mm-hmm. And it could be some complete stranger and we can still find some kind of, I don't know, a similarity in ourselves or something we mm-hmm. can relate to each other. Especially coming from a place where, you know, mental health has been such a huge topic in the last like 2 years. Yeah. And it's really like in the forefront now in people's minds and people are paying attention. I've found like in that sense, there are so many people that you can really like relate to and connect with. But yeah, I absolutely see your point.
So let me ask you.
Yeah, yeah.
So with social media, when you're saying connecting, are you talking about what platform, like Instagram, Twitter? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about, like, what kind of, where do you feel connected the most through social media, I guess, for you?
I think for me, and this is going to be very specific to me and Far Betterment because of how I have to use social media. I think for me, it's Instagram because that's kind of where I get all of my guests. I mean, almost, I would say a good 90-95% of my guests are from Instagram.
Whoa.
Sometimes it's recommendations like I got from Mandy or actually Edwin recommended Mandy. So that from Edwin, I got all of you guys. so that was,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, he was great and he just kept throwing out like, oh, this person would like to be on. And I think this person would be great. You should have them on. And that was amazing mm-hmm. because I've really had amazing conversations with Edwin and you so far, and Mandy. I mean, I just really felt a connection there between these people.
That's wonderful. That's awesome.
But Instagram specifically, I mean, people reach out to me like all the time, DMs, or I'll reach out to, I mean, anybody. I mean, I don't have any shame. Yeah. I'll reach out to to anyone that I think would be interesting, especially somebody that's got like a different viewpoint for myself. I love talking to those people. I feel like that's where you get the most growth.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, Facebook and things like that, I don't really see much value in.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are places that are less about expression and more about yelling at people, like what you've accomplished.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I honestly couldn't agree more. I hadn't been on it in years. And somebody mm-hmm. was like, you should post your nonprofit, you know, fundraiser on there. It's like, really? Facebook? And that's where we raised $2,000 in about 2.5 weeks.
Oh, wow. So good for you guys.
That was shocking. That was shocking. And I'm not somebody that adds every person. I don't think I've added a friend in years. Mm-hmm. It was just having the people that I know share it, but it was through Facebook. I was very surprised.
I thought
people would be more apprehensive, but yeah, cool.
I think that that's really interesting, that Facebook's one of those places where you're either going to have lots of support or you're going to find out that your circle isn't as supportive as like you thought it was. And then it's
right.
magnified greatly by the fact that everyone's right there in front of you. You can look at them and you can see them not supporting you or supporting you.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You know, when the national anthem and kneeling, mm-hmm. I posted something about that I posted something on Instagram, and you know how it links sometimes to Facebook.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people, what do they say, that from the woodworks came out? Like it was like my old science teacher from high school. I'm from a small town in East San Diego that, let's just say, they didn't agree with me.
Okay.
I mean, my old hairdresser growing up, I was like, dang, you guys are on my Facebook? And it was exactly like you said. They were just yelling at me. Like, this is comical. And then it was like 17 comments later. I'm like, what? I don't get that many comments from my newborn baby niece. This is insane.
Oh, no. Everybody
has
to shout their opinion. And I think that part of social media is like, it's toxic. Like, it's weird because I'm giving people a platform here, you know, and this is kind of a form of social media as well, because I'm mm-hmm. giving somebody a platform to talk about, you know, their political views or religion or their passions, interests, you know, trauma, things like that, where mm-hmm. I think Facebook and Instagram and those places are like, it's very like, look at me, feel bad for me or be happy for me or, you know.
Yeah. Hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Like me, thumbs up. It's, you know, what would be interesting is if they created a game show or some show, which Ellen DeGeneres would be great at this, where people like hid behind social media, which everyone does because they, in some way, in my opinion or aspect, not hides, but they give their best selves.
Oh, absolutely.
Or a version, right? But there are those people that actually do hide and they're just nasty. And if they came on the show and they had to be in real life what they were on social media, I think they would just crumble. It'd be so awesome.
Oh, it'd be a great way to hold people accountable, especially bullies, like you were saying. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Social media is it's a weird world that we're living in, because we I'm in my 30s now. Obviously I've gotten older over the years. And
oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're getting older, then you are not dead yet, and I think that's good. And it's so weird because we lived through that transition of like having pen pals and playing Oregon Trail and things like that, to all of a sudden, like, every ounce of information is at your fingertips. And even during that weird transition where the internet was completely like open and free and you could look at anything and do anything, to where it started getting regulated. Like, it's such a unique like renaissance, I think, that we're living in right now.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really... I like, it never ceases to amaze me or like make me like kind of, I don't know if revel in it is the right word, but maybe like be in awe of like what a major change that was over the last 20 years.
And rapid. That's a beautiful point of view.
It's
I really like that.
It's insanely rapid. Like 20 years mm-hmm. going from, you know, huge amounts of pollution to, you know, from cars to electric cars driving themselves. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, it's nuts.
It is.
I forget. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you don't really, like, it doesn't cross your mind because we've, like, adapted to it so well that it's just integrated in everything we do.
I broke my iPhone recently and couldn't get a replacement, and I would have to pay like $1,000 to get a new one, but I would have to wait a day. And I was babysitting that night, so I had to get some sort of phone to get a phone call on. Mm-hmm. And my sister had an old Nokia. Oh my gosh. It, like 2 pounds, it felt like it weighed. But, you know, didn't get internet on it, just got phone calls and broken up, you know, 1 out of 3 texts. So number 1, 2, 2 out of 3. Like they would come in later. So bad. And I had that for literally an evening, and it was so frustrating. And I'm not a huge, like, I don't go on the internet a lot on my phone. I do some like Instagram, but not a huge social media, or I don't like YouTube or anything, but
good for you.
It was interesting. Yeah. I wish I did more. People are like, you don't remember this YouTube video? And I'm like, I need to watch The Simpsons and I guess SpongeBob, and now I have to get into YouTube. So
no, just stay away.
Speaking to you.
It's a black hole.
Yes, it's so I was very frustrating to have that for one evening. And my gosh, my nieces are, it's so funny. They're like, do you have children? You have a daughter, right?
I have 3 kids, actually. Yeah, I've got 2 sons.
You have 3 kids?
Yeah, 2 sons and a daughter.
Oh, okay. I remember you mentioning your daughter when you spoke with Mandy, but you have 3 kids. That's amazing. Holy moly. So how old are they?
9, 3, and 2.
Wow. Okay. So my 2-year-old niece, she mimics the iPad.
Oh yeah.
And knows how to So does your 2-year-old do that?
All my kids are masters of iPads. You have to be able to use them because that's the way the future is going. You can't not.
Yeah.
You know, you have to adapt to technology. So yeah. Oh, they know.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was the funniest thing I've ever. I don't have children, so for me to fly back to San Diego and hang out with them, and they're like unlocking my phone, watching me put my password in. Like, you guys are little hacks.
At 2. That's
amazing.
Yeah.
No, well, the other one's 4, so
that's still.
She was the smart one. Oh my gosh, it's insane. I love it. So yeah, it is the way of the future.
It is. And yeah, I mean, I'm a huge believer, like, in if you don't adapt and integrate, like, you're literally going to be left behind. And it's, I mean, it's just a fact. You have to be able to constantly change and constantly grow and constantly, like, learn new things.
I agree with you. And that's how we're going to grow as a human race. And that's how we're going to. I same with personal growth. It's like, I really try. It's frustrating to me when I notice how I'm hanging out with the same people. They don't challenge me. They're all pretty much beautiful thinkers, and I love their minds, and I love the people that I hang out with and my family, but I need some challenge sometimes, or else I'm not going to get new ideas or new thoughts, or but that can be hard here in Denver.
Yeah. I agree with you. There's a lot of politeness that goes on in Denver.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of debate. If there is debate, it's more like, it's a big disagreement, and you're kind of shut out, and that's it.
You're right. There isn't much debate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have some friends from New Jersey, New York, and I went back last 4th of July to go visit their family. And oh my gosh, I felt like it was the debate class of my senior year. It was insane just hanging out with my friend's family and all their flying thoughts and cheersing. And yeah, there was drinking involved, but the debate was good. The debate was good.
I find like Denver is so, it's so interesting because there's like a huge, like there's a lot of like-minded people in Denver. So like moving to North Carolina was weird because, you know, in Denver, it's nice. Like people pretty much have the same general like moral compass as you do, and they believe most of the same things that you do, and everybody agrees most of the time, or you just don't associate with them, you know? And then I moved here, and it's so different. Like, we're in the South here, and a lot of people don't agree with the things that I believe, and but they don't shun you. They just kind of like accept it and accept like, okay, you believe something different than me. Oh, well, you know, and we just don't talk about it.
That's cool.
It is in a way, but you know, in Denver, it's nice also having everyone agree with you most of the time. So it was something to get used to. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine living all the way out there. How are your winters?
Cold, but it's more like an icy kind of like bone chilling cold. Like 50 and 40 degrees out here is so cold. You don't want to go outside.
Gosh.
Yeah. We're in Denver, like 30 degrees. If the sun's out, you're like in a t-shirt.
Oh, when I moved here from San Diego, it was the day before New Year's Eve, snowstorm. 2 days later, I go outside. I'm like, I'm going to tan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put a bathing suit on and I'm going to tan. And it was 32 degrees.
Yep.
But no wind. Sun is out. Feels amazing.
Yep.
It was awesome. But yeah, it's when people, something that kind of bothers me is that I feel pretty proud of getting up and moving my life. And I have a very amazing family and friend group back in San Diego, but I didn't feel connected really to a community.
Mm-hmm.
And moving, you know, towards the end of my 20s and coming out here and starting fresh or new, a lot of people were like, why would you ever leave San Diego? I mean, to this day, if I tell them, I get that every time. And it's just like, I know it's beautiful, but my vote is for Colorado. I think the beach is awesome, but you pay for it. And when you live next to it, you don't go as much as you think you would go.
Yeah.
You don't go during, it's the Pacific gets cold. I'm not a surfer either. And it is beautiful. It's special. And I do miss it at times, but I definitely feel way more connected to what Colorado has to offer. It's just amazing to live here.
And I think I agree with you. When you live in a place and you're born there and you've grown up there, you take a lot of that stuff for granted. Like, I never went to the mountains, like hardly ever, you know, until I started visiting. And then I decided like the national parks and stuff, that's now all of a sudden important to me.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Like, I never.
Yeah.
I just never like did that stuff. You know, we would go on like camping trips. Yeah. And then you see these people move there and they like love it. And I'm like, what was I doing? Why didn't I enjoy this more? But
that's so true though.
Yeah. I was a city kid though. Like I hung out in the city and convenience was all around me.
Yep. So you grew up in Denver.
Westminster area.
Okay.
So close enough. Yeah. Nobody knows where Westminster is unless they're, you know, in Colorado.
Unless they live right next to it.
Yeah.
So when I was living in San Diego, so I'm about an hour east of the city in the mountains, and grew up on some land and had what I think is an ideal childhood. And, what was cool is that I had the opportunity to live on the coast because I had family there as well, and just worked all the way down, you know, or worked my way down the coast, just like all these little beach cities. So I really got to know it well. And I still was like, something is missing. Something is missing. And my parents' whole thing about being happy is home is where the heart is. So it's like, you create your home. And I said, I know, but there's just something not connecting with me here. Like from a child, I just said, I don't like the town that I'm from. It's too small minded. Then I moved to San Diego and it was beautiful city, amazing food. Like I said, I've met some amazing people, but also there was this disconnect for me with a lot of ego and working out and body image. And so not a lot of people following through, which I know is a whole thing for people our age, but like really just not showing up when we would do camping trips or whatnot. And then I moved to Colorado and it's like, you want to come on a camping trip in like 2 hours? And you go. And for me, you're 5 hours deep into a road at somewhere in the mountains and you're with 25 people. It's like, wait, seriously, people do this? And like a few of them have their kids and dogs and this is awesome. So I'm very fortunate to be here.
That's so funny that you bring that up, actually. I didn't realize people didn't do that. Oh. Isn't that weird? I had no idea.
Yes. That is so weird.
I thought that was like normal. I just thought that was a thing until right now. That's so odd. How strange is that? I'm like, that's a thing, right? Like people do that all the time. No, apparently not.
Incredible. I think I was 18 or 17 and I'm 18. And I remember my parents being like, what do you want? I'm like, I want a cheese, like wine and cheese party. I'm like, okay, well, no wine, but we could do cheese. And I just loved really fun, fancy. It was kind of right when farm to table was coming, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Coming out during that time. Right. And it was really, really Little Italy is a part in San Diego that I love where you can walk in and it's like fifth generation family selling salami and homemade pasta. And I wanted this fancy dinner and I'm 18 and everyone else, I remember my six friends from my small town being like, can we just order pizza and just like drink Coors Light? No, come on. So there was this thing in me that I just really wanted, you know, that. So tying that back to the camping trips, I do like a charcuterie board on camping trips. And I realized out here, people don't do that. People don't make blue cheese stuffed burgers and bring like a full bowl. So this just happened literally, when was it? Memorial Day. I get invited to a whitewater rafting trip or a rafting trip. Okay, so in my mind, I'm like, oh, I've rafted before on a raft, like suntanning.
Oh,
I don't even
know
what I was thinking. And I go, yeah, like, what do I need to bring? Oh, just a UV shirt. I'm like, oh, I have that from fishing. You know, cool. I show up with a full tent, Costco size, family size tent. Okay.
Nice.
A blow up mattress and my full cooler that looks like it's a Costco size cooler. Food, I made casserole. I just like to have food and I always end up giving it out. And so I look around and again, there's like 20 people and they have dry bags is what I found out they're called. And they're pulling out their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and they're like sleeping on the sand. They're like, you ready to go white water rafting? I'm like, where's your guys' tents and stuff? They're like, oh, we're going down the Colorado River on our own whitewater raft. Like there was, I don't know, 17 people on four different boats and we're camping. Like, okay. So I can't bring up my blow up mattress and all that stuff. And it was really cool because they all were like, we got you. You can sleep in my tent. We can make you a bed and you can eat our food because nothing could be chilled. And it was the best trip I've ever been on.
Do you think you would have done that stuff, you know, had you not moved to Colorado?
Yeah, I'm a yes. I say yes.
That's very cool.
Yeah, but it was the people. I mean, I say yes because first of all, I trusted these people and they were safe. So I'm pretty water safety. My family and I grew up going to Lake Powell.
Okay.
So, but if they were too rowdy or didn't trust them, then I would have maybe called a different judgment. But yeah, I was like, this is cool. I could do this. And it was really, it was so scary at times and then extremely fun. Have you ever been before?
Water rafting?
Yeah.
No. I'm like, I kayak and stuff, but yeah, I don't know. Something mm-hmm. about white water rafting, I'm like, no.
It's not appealing to you?
I feel like I will be the first one to drown and ruin everyone's trip. Like, and I can swim pretty well, so that's kind of weird that I feel mm-hmm. that way. But I feel like I'm just going to yeah. fly out and no one will ever see me again.
Oh, that's so frightening. We all did fall off.
Oh, see, that's...
I mean, we all...
you can't yeah, tell me that stuff. Times.
I'm sorry. I take it back. No, I don't want to lie to you. It is scary. It is scary. We had some very, very close calls.
Like, oh, no.
Maybe three times, but we all had an eye out for each other.
That's cool.
Really yeah. awesome, strong people. But I respect that because you know, growing up in San Diego, living in the ocean, there's nothing I respect more than water.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
The ocean and rivers. And it is so something that it can take you like that. And a lot of people don't realize that. And they're either partying or drinking or being irresponsible while doing that. And oh, gosh, we just have a few friends that have a couple of crazy stories, like bringing dogs out there and stuff and just not being aware.
That's so terrifying. Like, Now that I have kids, I think about it all the time, especially like if we go to the beach or mm-hmm. like even standing on the edge of a lake or kayaking, because we take the kids kayaking with us a lot of times. Like that's all cool. I think about is, can I be strong enough of a swimmer to save all of us? And if I can't, should I bring us all along?
It
changes you quite a bit having kids. Yeah. Like it's pretty... Like, at least it changed me a lot. Like, I don't ever think, like, am I going to be okay? I think, are my kids going to be okay if I'm not okay? Or are my kids going to be okay mm-hmm. if I can't save them or if I can't, you know? but I think that's probably just me. Like, that's probably just my own, like, insanity. my anxiety.
I think it's beautiful. I mean, it's the way that you're protecting your family and thinking about them. I mean, hopefully it doesn't hinder you from getting the chance to do a small whitewater rafting trip someday.
My wife and kids definitely want to do it sometime, so I'm sure I'm going to get roped into it at some point in my life.
Good.
And then I'll fall over.
yes. And then they'll laugh, and then they'll never be able to trust you.
And never see me again, because I'll just float down the river.
Oh, no. No, get some classes. That would be so funny.
We don't have, like... Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we don't really have like rivers like that though out here. Like that's the thing I miss is there's not that kind of wilderness out here. It's like very thick, like just trees, forest, oaks.
Yeah.
Tons of snakes. Tons of snakes, like everywhere. Giant spiders. Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Have they been in your house yet?
The snakes have not, but I've killed a couple. Sorry for all of you animal lovers out there. Like, they're diamondbacks or copperheads. I'm sorry. So I'm not, you know, those
are
things
you
can't.
Sounds like you know your snakes well.
They are. Well, I learned what copperheads were when I moved out here, because we have them all over the neighborhood where I live. Like every summer, it's like the summer of copperheads, and they're just like roaming freely throughout the neighborhood, mm-hmm. like in the street and on the sidewalks and stuff. It's crazy.
No.
Yeah.
I'm never going there. You're keeping me from moving there? Are you telling me it's a cool place to live?
It is.
You're trying to keep me away.
It's a cool place to live. Great place to, like, you know, amazing food out here. Amazing food.
I can only imagine.
You know, there are great restaurants in Denver, and I always loved that about Denver when I lived there. But I would say North Carolina beats it as far as food.
I won't argue with that.
It's amazing.
Because I'm sorry. I know you're from here, but being from San Diego and living close to the border, mm-hmm. I think the food here, honestly, is horrible.
Really? That's interesting to hear.
Yes. Yes.
But I believe it.
I have friends that are from the Midwest that are like, it's amazing. I'm like, you're from the Midwest. You have like two pizza places from your
town. Yeah.
So you have variety.
The Midwest isn't known for their food. Well, I'll say that.
No.
But
yeah.
But yeah, I could see that. San Diego has a lot of, like, I've been there a couple times and it has some great food and great like breweries and stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The thing is about San Diego is, first of all, they can have their farms. Mm-hmm. A lot of farmers markets are open year round.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thing.
That makes sense.
And the soil and just where it's at located, it's just amazing to grow for everything, fruits, vegetables, citrus, avocados. And so you get that right there. You have Fallbrook with all the avocados, you have Mexico, you have the fish. It's just super amazing what you get there. And then the people, you know, it's a city that has a lot of generations that have lived there. And so you get authentic food. And so what I feel is kind of different with Denver is like, they just, from what I've noticed, and I have some friends that are in the restaurant industry, that they'll just hire whoever mm-hmm. to do the cooking for these quote unquote authentic restaurants or food that should be, in my opinion, passed down through generations or something that should be, you know, for a person who's worked in that industry for a while. And I just, oh gosh, I'm just disappointed. I'm sorry. I like a few pizza places here, but I mean, I'm also used to different Mexican food. So people are always like, try this smothered burrito. I'm like, no.
You would hate Mexican food out here.
I
grew up Mexican. And so, like, I grew up on Mexican food, like, literally every single day. And it is awful out here. It's like Tex-Mex, which I've never liked.
No.
But it's also a lot of South American food, which it's a whole different thing. It's just not the same. But it gets passed off as Mexican mm-hmm. food. So, I hear you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I totally get it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. It isn't what it should be.
That is true. If you ever go to San Diego, though, I started when I moved here, people were like, oh, I'm going there for a work trip or I'm going there for a bachelorette party. What are your recommendations? I wrote this whole, it was actually for a bachelorette party. Like, where should we go? And it ended up being like a map of just food. Like, not where they wanted to go what they wanted to do. It's just food. So I've had, I don't know, 15 people now use this, like, from OB, so Ocean Beach, it's kind of like where you fly in, close to the airport, all the way up the coast to Carlsbad, Oceanside area.
Okay.
There are my favorite spots and favorite dishes. Like, you got to order this at this place. It's bomb. Get the side of beans at the taco stand in La Jolla. It's bomb. Like, oh, so if you ever go there, email me and I'll give you the list.
You know what? I'm absolutely going to take you up on that.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very passionate about my food.
Good. I like that because that means I can trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I feel like we've been talking about Denver the whole time. Denver and food.
Very true. Yes.
What like, was that your first choice to move to, or did you have like a few places in mind? Like what made you, like what was about Denver that it made you go there?
So fortunately enough for me, I had a younger sister that paved the way. And so she ended up doing her master's degree at DU.
Okay.
And we hadn't lived with each other. I kind of moved out early, like 17. We hadn't lived with each other for, it would have been 11 years. And so, to be quite honest, I thought I had my life set in San Diego, meaning I thought I was on the path towards marriage with somebody and, got a house with them. And then I ended up breaking it off. It wasn't the right person and it wasn't the right choice for me. And I did this road trip up the coast and by myself, which I'm not a by myself person. I love people. But I had to do this windows down, taking the 101. And I must have called my sister, I don't know, 10 times just to talk. And then would think and listen to music, and some Alanis Morissette song would come on and I'd call her again, or Dixie Chicks. No, I'm kidding. No, terrible.
This sounds like a movie. I think I've seen this.
Yeah. But I was really like, I've never been super happy in San Diego, and I have everything I could ever want. And this was about a year after, you know, the breakup. And so that year I was healing and, you know, doing everything. Like you said, you see people going to Rocky National Forest and all these places. I did that. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this famous hike in San Diego, and I'm going to surf. I'm going to take surfing lessons, and I'm going to do everything like that there is on the list to do, that they tell you from TripAdvisor. And it was awesome. I felt like a tourist in my own city, but still was like, this isn't it. So I'm calling my sister, her name's Sierra. And like I said, it's like the 10th time. And I said, you know, Sierra, what do you think if I just, if I move to Denver? I know you're there, and it's like, you've put your roots there, and it's your friends and your life. I don't want to infringe on that. And it's silent. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it's not Denver. And she's like, yes, come out here, live with me. I'll break my lease. We'll get a new place. We'll live together. It'll be amazing. And I'm like, seriously? She's like, yes, you have my support. I love you. I couldn't ask for, I have an older brother too. I couldn't ask for a better family. And so my job, my company at the time had, you know, they're located in San Diego and in Denver. So I went to my manager and I said, hey, this is kind of crazy, but I'd like to possibly think about transferring. And she's amazing. Her name is Michelle. She teared up, and I thought, I had no idea what her thoughts were. I just was honestly shocked. And she just grabbed my hand and said, when do you want to do it? I'm going to make this happen for you. And it was so amazing to, and she knows this, I've talked to her a lot about this, to get that support from another woman. That was my manager. She was my boss, to be like, whatever you need, I have your back. I believe in you. And this is the best choice. It was like, cool. Okay. Yes. All right. So everything was smooth. There's no other way to say it. It happened. My company supported me in moving. I lived with one of my best friends at the time, and she was like, go do it. This is awesome. My sister's, you know, found an awesome house for us over by Sloan's Lake. It just was super easy. I came out here and people just embraced me. And I don't know. There's just something about this. I followed my heart. I know it's kind of cheesy. I couldn't be more happier. And I'm open. I'm open to moving again. I'm not afraid. So if something were to happen or something to come up, like, I can do it. Like, I'm sure you can relate, moving all the way to North Carolina from Denver. That's a far move.
I think
that's badass.
I think I was like running though, you know. I don't think I moved because I felt like I was running for sure. That was kind of how I dealt with things then. Was, you know, I just picked up and left because I was so just in a place where I couldn't even look at myself or anybody else in, you know, in public or look at myself in the mirror or anything. I just had to run. So I think that's, for me, it feels like more of a cop out that I went halfway across the country because I couldn't get any further. You know what I'm saying? Like,
really?
Yeah, I wanted to go further. Like I wanted to go to Canada. Like I wanted to go to another country just to get away. Yeah, I was.
No way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. Cause I see people just shut down and not want to. I mean, I'm from a small town where like, nobody moves from. And it's interesting that you say like you didn't want to look at yourself or you couldn't face. And I think that's, I mean, as I'm sorry that you had those moments and those feelings. And but like to get up and move is, I don't know. I just think that takes something.
I think
so,
it takes.
But for you, that's incredible that.
My coping mechanism, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just shocked. I'm not used to that.
I get antsy. Like, even in the last year, I've felt like, okay, I've experienced North Carolina. I'm ready to go. And I've been looking at places in like New York. I always pick these places where I know it's so different from what I've been around and so much more of like an experience. And like here, I'm in a place where everything's very calm and quiet and nothing is, you know, too difficult and there's no traffic. Everything is like just laid back. And now I'm looking at New York, where I'm going to be bombarded by noise and people and, you know, and like it's funny, but the podcast has kind of made me want to go there as well, because I feel like the whole thing now is about just getting to know people and selfishly grow from those people as well. And hopefully they take something from it also. You know, that's my greatest hope. But I feel like in a place like New York, I can just find people on the street and get to know those people and hear their story and just talk to somebody new. Absolutely. Like every day, I think would be pretty amazing.
Well, when are you going?
Tomorrow, hopefully. I mean, legitimately, if I could, I would. Like, absolutely pick up tomorrow and go. But it gets harder when you know, you've got a family and stuff and the lease and a ton of excuses.
Sure, I could only imagine. But what is so interesting and cool is that we are, the vision of the American dream, I think, is changing.
Yeah.
So your want, I kind of feel like I hear a little bit of like, not that it's wrong, but like, I don't know. It just, society makes it a little more difficult to up and move. And also just our social construct is like stay in one place and have, you know, the American dream. But it's so thrilling. And just recently with one of my best friends, she's in her early 30s and she's incredible. Her name's Carrie Ann and she's a speech pathologist and she's from New Jersey originally and literally woke up and was like, I need to live next to the beach. And she couldn't be more of a Californian more than anyone I ever know. So she picked up, drove out to San Diego, met some girls on Craigslist who are my friends. So there you go. There's social media right there. There's connected us. And now she is like my soulmate, my best friend. And this girl literally does speech pathology. She's gone to Hawaii. She's gone to San Francisco. And we've had many conversations about, you know, she's like, is it wrong that I want to up and leave? And she uses the same word, antsy. I just get antsy. But I feel like, am I betraying my home? Is that New Jersey? Is home San Diego? Is this? So we have these conversations a lot. And it's like, well, who told you it couldn't all be home? Like, who told us that was not acceptable to up and move and uproot? It's such an ingrained idea in our mind, or I guess in my mind and in hers. And we talk about it quite often, but I think it's really cool that you have that desire.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel better. I don't feel like such a runner, but yeah, I think I agree with you. Yeah. Who did tell us that? Why is that what we're supposed to do? And you know, a better question, I think, like, what does the quote unquote American dream look like to you? Like, what's your opinion of that?
I think it's doing things that are out of your comfort zone. So I think it's having, honestly, I think it's having fun and being responsible. That sounds so silly, but
no, not at all.
My total dream is to have an adult summer camp.
Yes.
If I could have, or a family camp, if I could have a camp, we had one of my good friends out here and I had a summer camp themed birthday party.
That's amazing.
It was so much fun. Oh my gosh. We had like whirly gigs and balloons and funny glasses and tattoos and journals and everything you could think of, tie dye. It was awesome. If we could just have more fun, it makes things so much more relatable. My other big thing in life is I love to host. I love to host. I love to cook in my home. And I love live music. So I don't play music, but it would just be so cool if I can make enough money to just always host dinners and have bands play at my house. So that's another, like, that would be a dream of mine. I forget what your original question was. I'm sorry. Now I'm just in dreamland.
No. I think you kind of answered it. I mean, it sounds like, and I think we kind of have similar views. It sounds like being free to make choices rather than be tied down by obligations.
It's a very powerful word, choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our generation, and I don't know, I'm not going to ask your age or anything, but I think I'm a little bit older than you. And but I think our generation is very, very much like breaking that mold. You know, I think it's a lot about experience for us. And I love that mindset. I love thinking that I'm going to gain something from everything I do, rather than how much money can I make from this?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a beautiful way to say it. There's this experience, and it's not just like the grind anymore. That's not what you, I don't really hear the grind.
Yeah.
I hear more of what are you up to in life? And this conversation's happening. You're in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Denver. What? This is awesome. So it's having these conversations and, oh my gosh, it's, I'm very grateful. So where the world is at right now, I am honestly grateful for where I'm at and what I have. And I think it's a really, even though there's tragedy and there's hard times, and I'm definitely aware of that, and I think it's a very interesting and awesome time to be now and to have that mindset of being present. There's a lot about being present right now and a lot of like meditation and this movement of being more aware. Really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. I think, that's a good way to put it. Being present is very much, on my mind all the time. I really want to appreciate things that are, I don't want to miss something and look back on it in 10 years and say, oh God, I wish I enjoyed that more. I wish I'd have appreciated that more.
Oh yeah. Have you ever read Tuesdays with Maury?
No.
Oh, favorite book. It's by Mitch Albom and it's a memoir, but I read it every year. It's like, it's very short. You could read it in like a day or two. I mean, you have kids, so maybe a week. Give yourself a week.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'll give you a little. But it is, I think you would really take something from it and enjoy it. And it just really teaches me that we all have something to learn from one another. And one thing I mean, I remember being my 14-year-old girl self looking in the mirror being like, never forget how hard life is. I mean, this is something I've talked about before. Never forget how hard life is. And I'm crying and, you know, just emotional. But I want to stay connected to that young woman, like that 14-year-old self. And that there's times where I feel hard and like, oh, look at that. Look at the kids. And I'm like, no. Remember, it was hard. Life was hard. And remember, you can learn from everybody. So it's an interesting time right now when I'm a little bit, you know, I'm almost 30, but a lot of my friends have kids and I don't, but to see a lot of these parents have this very respectful mindset that I know they want to listen to their kids. It's really cool. And not that my parents didn't, they were fabulous with me and absolutely wonderful, but there's this new sense of like learning from one another and being more like on one playing field. If that makes sense.
100%. And it's like so cool that you brought that up, because my wife and I are always wondering if we're like weird or odd for like not underestimating our kids, you know, like listening to their opinions and letting them make choices. And, you know, we've got like parents who kind of like tell us, you're the parents don't the, like, they're just there to listen to you. And we don't feel that way at all. Like, it's a family. We're supposed to like support each other, you know? And, I wasn't really ever close with my siblings. So I think that's really important for me too, that my kids aren't growing up where they're strangers with each other.
Amazing.
So it's really cool to hear you say that, because you always wonder as a parent, like, what am I doing to fuck my kid up?
Yeah. I said, I know it's different when you have kids, but I grew up nannying and I still nanny for some, and I mean, when I was a nanny of a family and spending 40 hours a week with or more.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a
I
lot
realized
of time.
Then they're copying me, and they're, you know, what I say and how I react is literally forming their brains, you know, from a certain age. So I can only imagine if, the responsibility that you feel. But I just want to say that is so awesome of you and your wife, because something that I've noticed with these families that I've worked for is that sometimes there's some kind of ownership.
Yes.
That, like, I own, you are mine. You are my child. You are mine. Same with, like, partnerships. So husband and wife or whatever you, you know, some sort of relationship, you're like, you're mine. And I always thought, that's just so weird. I didn't have that growing up. It wasn't like I didn't have this ownership for my parents. It was my body, my mind, my hair that I could dye, you know?
Yeah.
There were regulations and stuff, but I got to say my opinions and state my case. And I've seen that in some of these family dynamics. And it's heartbreaking. It doesn't allow the formation of whatever you want to be. And really it's because I feel like the parents have no idea, or they don't get to be who they want to be.
Yeah.
And that's so kind of like, I don't know. I don't know. I just think that there's this philosophy, like, I grew up kind of my parents being like, you can be whatever you want to be every day. And truly, you're not stuck to being like a stubborn girl or a sporty, you know, my sister was like, our other family members would be like, you are so athletic, and Natalie, you're so theatrical. But my parents were like, you don't have to be that. That's not who you are. You don't have to wear that. You know, you can be whatever you want. And we really did get it. Or at least I did.
I can appreciate that so much.
It's really awesome.
Like, I can appreciate that parenting style, because it's refreshing to hear. Like, we live in a place where that stuff isn't preached. It's not taught. Like, here, it's very, very traditional. Like, there are parents, and then they own their kids, like you were saying, and they tell them what to do, and they're just supposed to be, you know, seen and not heard, or sometimes not even seen. And it's, you know, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and spanking still happens. And it's just so weird to us, because I have, like, all these little sayings I tell my kids all the time, and I hope that I'm drilling them into their heads. But just going back to your point about, you know, being adaptable and being able to be whatever you want, whenever you want, because you just feel like changing. And I tell my kids, the only constant in life, you know, everybody says the only constant in life is change. And I tell my kids that's true, but it's kind of bullshit. Like, the only constant in life is time. Time's the only thing you can't stop. You can't go back. You can't go forward. But everything else is temporary. Everything else is temporary. And like, I wish more people were comfortable, like your parents, with letting their kids just kind of figure out who they are and who they want to be. Because I didn't figure out who I wanted to be until I was 30 years old, 32 even.
Wow.
And sometimes
but
I still
like,
don't know.
Still learning, right? But it's like, that's a really cool part of it. Don't you feel kind of like a kid again? Like, I can, who am I?
I've never felt grown up.
It's exciting.
Like,
I don't either.
Yeah, legitimately. It's another one of my sayings. I tell my kids, like, you don't have to grow up, just be responsible.
So you sound like a good enough grown up to be a really, really, really good dad.
I feel like I'm responsible.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. I mean, what you're doing right now is just, it's awesome. And I should, can only imagine how you speak with your children.
I should like talk to you once a week just so you can like pump my tires and build up my ego.
Oh,
If your significant other is cool with it, like.
Yeah. Yeah, we do a lot of these talks.
Yeah. And maybe my wife can get in on this. And
oh, yeah. Gosh, I would actually be really honored to speak with her. I'm sure she's an awesome, awesome lady.
I'm lucky. I mean, we've been together for 14 years. So, yeah, she's my high school sweetheart. And
no way.
We got lucky.
That is awesome.
Yeah, we got pretty lucky.
That is awesome.
So.
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. So you didn't have to do the internet dating.
Oh, no. Actually, I was going to ask you about that because I thought it was like so like such an interesting experience that I haven't had to like go through.
Oh, yeah. You didn't miss out.
It's we'll daunting to me to like if we ever divorced, oh, my God, I don't know what I would do. Like,
no, you just stay married.
Yeah, right.
That's what you do.
Yeah,
you just love her and you tell her she's beautiful, and you know, you bite your tongue on the bad days, and then of course,
exactly.
You're human, but forgive easily, and yeah, you guys will be just fine. I think that's something cool about parenting is that my parents, they have been together for almost 30 years.
Oh wow!
And
good for them.
They're awesome. They're really cool people. Like, I like hanging out with them. Was it like the easiest for me in high school? No, because I wanted to mohawk my hair and, you know, get tattoos. And I went down to Mexico without them knowing, you know, just I was nuts. I feel bad for them. But the thing is that they have always been who they are. And so there was no like, oh, now I'm an adult and these are my parents. You know how sometimes that happens where you hear friends are like, oh, I went to Vegas for my 30th birthday with my parents and they're cool. They're actually cool.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what? Or whatever. It's interesting. Like now that you're an adult, they change or I don't know. No, they were always like true blue, honest. If they made a mistake or they got frustrated, which of course they're human, they would apologize and be like, you know, I got frustrated. I made a mistake. I'm not perfect. So it was very young age where I got to see that they weren't superhuman. They weren't just like my parents, they were actually people. And I think that's something that changed the way that I grew up and how I relate to people is they made themselves people and relatable and approachable and honest. And they weren't hiding some version of themselves. For whatever that could be. I don't think there's any wrong reason. I think some people do that to be like the best parents or whatever they think. Maybe that's how they grew up, but it's been awesome. I'm very lucky to have them. I think it's just because they're just relatable.
It's really nice to hear somebody be so like appreciative. It's so odd because sometimes I'll see, you know, I'll get somebody on here that's just like so appreciative and so, you know, proud of what they have. And then I'll get somebody who just like has gone through like so many traumas and stuff that they can't really mm-hmm. see value.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's wrong or anything, obviously. I mean, we all have our traumas,
right.
but it's just, it's such an interesting parallel, I guess.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you caught me honestly 3 years ago mm-hmm. after my breakup, this would be a very different conversation.
Really?
Like right before the breakup where I was like not in a relationship where you isolate from your family, we'll just put it that way.
Okay.
And so I really learned through the process to lean on them, and I remember being like a little girl and saying, do I have to invite this aunt or this uncle to my wedding one day? And they said, no, that's your choice. This is your life. So I got that message, but then I also got like the message from not my family, but other people like family is your blood. They're all you have. So I got this like mix, like, no, you create your family. But in the time I needed people the most, and that was like the ending of my last relationship, they were there. And so there was this whole new world that became to me, like, these are my people. They will actually be there when I call and I say, I need help right now and we got to go. So for me, that's, I feel for people in those moments. I've definitely been there. My sister and I, we've done family therapy, like in middle school and high school. I think that helped to just learn communication styles.
Absolutely.
But we demand. So if she wants a better relationship with me and we want one with our parents, and there have been times where it's like, Dad, I don't really like that we're talking in a way that's not productive, or we're not talking enough, or we've just really learned to like demand and they allowed that. Like, I don't like the way that this relationship feels right now. What do we need to do to work on it? And we do that with my brother as well and his wife. And it's been super powerful. It's just a whole different family, I feel like. And I think that was, it's just tools of communication and just being like, I want something better than this. You know, how do we get there?
That's incredibly like mature of you. And really like crazy mature of your parents, which is, I know that sounds weird because they're adults, but yeah. You know, they're adults with experience and they've lived life and, you know, they're probably much wiser than any of us, but like, it's mature to be able to say, I don't like this. Let's work on it.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I need to do that more, I think.
So do I. Let's high five on that and definitely
absolutely
work.
Yeah, that's,
I like that.
That's why I love doing this, because people like you like teach me so much about, I don't know, myself. I hate saying that because it's so like selfish. It's almost like I'm like trying to figure out who I am in real time, but I promise that's not the case.
No, but what you're doing is the same thing for me. So for however long we've been talking, you just reawakened what my world has been. You know, I don't get to talk about it. This is a very unique experience, but all these emotions, like I want to call my parents right now, you know, and just be like, I love you guys. This is awesome. It's so cool to talk about like the good, and we could, you know, there's bad to talk about. That's not where my life is right now. I am stoked. So what you're doing is kind of re-presencing to me all the things that have made me who I am, which is pretty badass. People don't stop and ask those questions. So I very much appreciate it. Very cathartic.
You're like the nicest person. Thank you. Like that yeah. is one of the nicest compliments I've ever received. And I can't tell you like how much that means. So thank you. Genuinely, thank you for saying that. That's,
I appreciate this.
I'll have to remember this on days where I'm like, do I want to do this still? And,
please do.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm connected with people, and there's people out there that maybe have never uttered their gratefulness or their sadness. So you giving them that, I mean, you're a great listener too. There is a difference between somebody who's listening and somebody who's not. And that right there is a gift.
I feel like I interrupt a lot. Like, I hate that.
Oh,
I do
my
that.
Gosh, no.
I'm the worst.
No, you do not.
Look, I'm doing it right now.
No, absolutely. It's a conversation. I didn't know what kind of platform we'd be having in this, you know, conversation. I think there's times where I'm like, how many minutes was I just talking? Holy moly. No, but I think you're doing a great job. And some of the other podcasts I've listened to, it's like you kind of, I could keep going, but you do a good job. Like, this is great. You just got me into a place where I did not expect to be talking about how awesome my parents are. Like, it's very cool.
No, I like to wing it. Like, I really do like to wing it. I don't like to like plan anything or know too much about you before we talk, because like then I'm not really getting to know you anymore. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not organically like learning about you. So I don't write down And I used to in the beginning, I used to write down like all the questions and I had like this little list and I found that it was just really dry and I hated it. And so I stopped writing things down. And now as I'm talking to you, if I come up with a question, I'll write that down and then I'll come back to it and kind of talk to you as it goes. Cause I think that way I'm like getting to know you and you're getting to talk about like your passions and your life and what, you know, where you see yourself going or where you've been. And, and like, that's what I'm interested in. Like, I want to know things about you that either you know and don't talk about, or you're learning about yourself, or you have learned about yourself, ways you've grown. Like, that's what I want to figure out, you know?
That's cool.
Like, I love that stuff. Like,
well, you, there's a lot of local bars here in Denver where that people like love to get to know you.
I guess so, yeah.
I have no friends. It's like, all right, buddy, you're asking a lot of questions, but it felt good. It was just somebody just wanting to talk and get to know you, simply put. It's really cool.
I mean, but you're right. Like, in a way, it is kind of like, it's real invasive. And so I never take for granted the fact that people, for the most part, like, have reached out to me to ask to be on. So it's...
so cool.
It's like a... This sounds super, super, like... cocky. And I don't mean it to come off that way, but I feel like a huge responsibility to do those people justice and not like try to, you know, I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm not trying to like get you to cry. You know, I'm not trying to get you to like tell me your deepest, darkest secrets. You know,
you don't have an end goal.
No. Right. No,
I think that's apparent. And I don't think anything you've said is cocky. I think your passion is exactly what this is.
So I hope so.
You speak it. You speak it. Yeah. And like you said, you kind of came to who you are, who you're becoming, what, at 30?
Yeah, around there. Like,
this is probably a fantastic thing for you to be in. This is exactly probably why you ended up. This is exactly, in my opinion, why you ended up doing this, because you are... That is a little bit later in life. Some people never wake up to who they are, I think, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how cool that you're learning from others. That's truly, I think, the way of growth.
So, people are like, thank you. I mean, you know, you've complimented me so much that it's embarrassing. At this point, I'm like, but no, I appreciate it. And no, like, thank you for, you're the one that has the most risk being on here. You know, the episode's completely in your hands. It can go any which way. And, you know, it's really all, like, I hate to say this, but the responsibility's on you, how this goes. You know, I can make it pleasant or unpleasant, but but like, seriously, all I can do is listen and ask questions and get to know you. But, you know, it's up to you what you talk about and what you divulge and how open and vulnerable and honest you are. That has nothing to do with me. You know, maybe
you're right, I'm going to counter that.
Sure.
That people don't listen. People, really, even like right now, it's something I've been working on, is like actually not having the little, like listening to the little voice in my head, which we all have, but actually hearing your words and not having an opinion about them. I honestly feel like what you're doing with people in this world is giving them that space where we always have that little voice and we have judgments, but you're listening to truly what. I was going to say, I don't even know how to say it, but you're up for the listening, where people just maybe pretend, or they already have something set in their mind. So they already have a set question. Like you said, you don't have an end goal. That is, I think, so rare. Even in our friend groups, or when you go back for family and you just say one comment, somebody's just chewing you and on your heels, like before you even really get to say what you want to say. It's like people aren't up for the listening. They already have this idea formed or an opinion formed on what you're actually saying. So it's refreshing to be able to talk and not have somebody dictate like an opinion about what I'm talking about. That's what I really, I think, what gives the freedom for this to happen.
That's interesting, actually. I guess I never looked at it that way. But yeah, I definitely am up for it. Like I enjoy it. Like I like listening. I like hearing about yeah. you. You know, I like hearing about you guys. Like everyone that's been on, I like that part. I don't know. I don't know what that is for me. I don't know if it's some like weird curiosity or you know, like I don't know. I don't know what that's about. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I guess I never really thought about it.
We'll keep thinking about it.
Yeah.
Keep interviewing people.
Well, it's just
maybe you'll find an answer.
Maybe that's the point. Like maybe the point is to never find an answer and just keep learning as much as possible. Because you know, like everybody has value. I think that's my biggest thing is I find like value in everybody that I talk to. Like everyone has something that they're passionate about, something mm-hmm. that they love, something that they would die for. And I just want to know what that is and why, you know?
That's cool. Have you had some tough people to unlock that in? Have you had to cry a little bit, or are most people pretty open and honest?
I think typically if someone's going to be tough, they'll just say no. I have had some surprising moments where I thought they were going to be like very private and closed off, and then like told me everything that they had to tell. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, just really open, especially with friends. 'Cause that's how this started. I started it to keep in contact with my friends and like give myself an excuse to connect with them. 'Cause I felt like I isolated myself and I wasn't really talking to anybody anymore. And I had gone through like this really deep, like severe depression and just hated everything. And, I think I found that a lot of those were very surprising. And, another like very surprising thing is like the people that I have like reached out to myself, like some, I don't know, like music video producer and TV hosts and stuff like that, that have actually said yes. Like that stuff's crazy to me. You know, I've only done 50 episodes, 51 with yours. And these people are like so willing to like share with me. It's so crazy. I feel like so honored.
Yeah, keep asking. Make those bold requests.
It's just it's a huge honor. Like, I find like so much, I'm again, like for lack of a better word, like so much value in speaking to everybody, like no matter who they are. I don't know. People to me are, are fascinating, and what makes them tick is even more fascinating. And maybe it's because like I couldn't figure out what made me tick for so long, that I'm so excited that I found it out that I'm like, okay, you tell me now what's like your thing. I don't know.
Sharing circle.
I don't know what it is, but I'm just like so grateful to people like yourself that are willing, you know. I think that part is the amazing part, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
That's so nice to hear. And I truly appreciate you and you being on. I know I usually only keep people on for an hour.
I have no idea what time it is.
It is.
Oh my God. I just looked.
So it's been an hour and a half. And
dang.
I feel like I could have kept talking to you though. Like legitimately.
Me too. Awesome.
Yeah. So thank you.
I want to know more about the whys for you, but yes, I appreciate your time and I look forward to, and now I'm subscribed to your podcast. So I look forward to
thank
all
you.
Yeah. I think I'm like 10 deep. And so I will get, It's cool. I also was like, I don't want to know too much, but I just kept listening to it, you know, at work. And so it's cool. You're doing great.
I think with you, this is the most I've talked in a while. Usually I'm asking questions and listening. I think this is the most I've, like, equally, or maybe even more than you. I don't know. I feel like I talked a lot this episode.
I got really good at that online dating. So, you know, sometimes you show up and...
I guess you knew the right questions to ask. That's so funny.
No, I'm kidding. No, there's a lot to learn from you. So thank you. I appreciate everything and all the questions you asked. It's been really fun.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. I would absolutely do this again. And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.